This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Roads 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Outstanding. As I told Tom Mertz, I said, I saw Tom, 2 weeks ago? And I said, if I had to do it all over again, I said, that's exactly the car I'd get. Great pre-owned inventory, because, I mean, look, your budget may be screaming, pre-owned inventory. I got it. I mean, so, I was fortunate my budget could do whatever. You have to do what works for your budget. Pre-owned inventory may work for your budget. Well, they have a lots filled with pre-owned inventory, and they all have the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. And a terrific service department. Inspections, routine, difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Go to sunburymotors.com. Dodgers and Yankees. Yay. The two best teams all season long are both in the World Series, where they belong.
Somebody's trying to convince people online that nobody's going to watch this World Series.
Oh, no, this will get a good rating. I mean, it's the best single scenario that Major League Baseball could have hoped for.
Oh, yeah.
Now, whether this cracks 10 on the rating number is still going to be debatable.
Yeah. Different era.
Yeah, it's a different era. I mean, but it could be like 8.8, 9.5, something like that on ratings, which would be terrific for baseball. It's just not like the old days.
I have a hard time wrapping my head around it's the first time they've met in the World Series since 1981.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember a friend of mine, Jack Culp, one of the truly great radio guys of all time, eventually left State College, set up shop in San Francisco. And every once in a while I see Jack. I run into him. He's just one of the greatest guys on the planet. Jack Culp, 1981, decides that he wants to have a World Series party. But the World Series party is going to be on a Saturday. Which means after the Yankees win the first two games, the Dodgers have to win a game to have the party. And Fernando Valenzuela in Game 3 pitches a beautiful game, and the Dodgers win. And Jack got a card together for everybody to sign thanking Fernando Valenzuela for saving the World Series party. Like, okay, great. Oh, goodness. And the Dodgers won the World Series anyway. That was the one that Dave Winfield was in. Yeah, Dodgers won the World Series in 81. But he said he got a card together. Send it to, you know, we all had to. Everybody, hey, can we sign it? We're gonna send it to Fernando. Like, okay, we all signed the card. Thanks for saving the party. Because of you, we can have it. Then the Dodgers kept winning and never lost.
I'm sure it's framed right next to his Rookie of the Year trophy.
See, I like how you think. You know, that's the way it should be. Right? It's right next to that picture of the suit. No? Not true?
I don't think I want to know why he'd have a picture of the suit.
Target practice.
Ah.
All right, so...
I walked both the suit and I into that one.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. The Deshaun Watson injury. I didn't see the play. I haven't seen the play. But I guess the fans were not kind as he left. Okay. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson booed during pregame introductions, then cheered when he suffered an Achilles midway through the loss to the Bengals. I guess the Browns fans, the Browns players were extremely upset with the fans. And they said it was an ugly scene in Cleveland yesterday when it happened. And Myles Garrett, Jameis Winston were a couple of players in their post-game press conferences. And Garrett said, look, he said, no one deserves that. And he said, I've seen him work his backside off here, put a smile on his face, trying to put everything that's outside the facility behind him, death threats, people coming to his house, going after his family. He said, no one deserves that, and I hate using the word deserves. I'm usually pretty consistent in saying earned. Did you notice how I say earned all the time? Right? I'm not big on deserves either. He says, but he hasn't earned that, and he doesn't deserve that. And Jameis Winston pretty much said the same thing. The way I was raised, I was taught to love no matter the circumstances, especially for people who do right by you. I'm grateful that I have had a chance to serve Deshaun, but I'm very upset with the reaction to a man who's had the world against him for the past 4 years. He put his body and life on the line. He does it every single day. And then they both went on a lot about it.
Can they all be wrong?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think he should have been booed by the players, but I don't know if I'd be out there defending him like that either. Booed by the fans. And I don't know if I'm the players, if I'm out there defending him quite that much either.
Right.
I forget which one. One of them said that he's been a model citizen for the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part.
First of all, I never cheer. I would never even remotely even think of cheering for an injury. Do I think there are some players out there you don't like? I mean, let's think of somebody you don't like. Like, whatever. They just rub you the wrong way. Would I cheer for that? Never. I don't want anybody hurt. Okay, well, what I want to cheer for is if he throws an interception, my team picks it off. And to me, that's what it's all about, is that, like, let performance dictate cheers and boos. When somebody gets hurt, you can't cheer a guy gets hurt. Can't. That's wrong. Now, model citizen? Oh, we can debate that. But that has nothing to do with him getting hurt. There are enough players out there. In fact, yeah, it'd be great to have Matt on this segment because there's like he hates a lot of people. Like, would he cheer? Like, he can't stand Tiger Woods. Right? Would he cheer that Tiger Woods gets hurt on a backswing? He might. What? I don't know. Well, that's an interesting question when you think about it. I wonder if Matt would cheer. I can hear Matt now. Good. Like, oh, no, no. It's just, but that's just me. I'm not, that's not my style.
Is Matt protecting Perkins waitresses? What could possibly Matt not like Tiger Woods for?
I don't know. For all we know, he's an investor.
Well, that's true. Matt has some Swedish models in his family tree that we didn't know he was related to the wife.
I don't know about that, no. And he'd be more of a Waffle House investor.
That's true.
Yeah. No. But, I mean, just think about, like... Well, I remember Eagles fans. They did this. Remember Michael Irvin?
Yes.
But come on. Really? Really? You got to be kidding me. You can't root for somebody to get hurt. It's a football game.
I was going to say, I think the Michael Irvin one might even be worse, because that wasn't that when he was backboarded in a neck brace?
Yes, but this was also an Achilles, too.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, not to denigrate the seriousness of an Achilles, but that's not going to kill him.
What makes this worse, though, is this was the home crowd.
Well, it's true, too. I mean, there's no defense of it, let's be honest.
No. I mean, look, Eagles fans, I mean, with Michael Irvin, but he's not alone. Santa Claus has been booed, too.
And to be fair, Santa Claus is way more popular in Philadelphia than Michael Irvin ever was.
We can debate that.
Good point.
Not apparently foolproof. How about that? Michael Irvin, Santa Claus. Same treatment. Wow. At least it wasn't Dollar Dog Day.
No.
The only franchise has to end Dollar Dog Day because their fans can't handle it. Everybody else is thriving with it. Nope. Not us. Let's get into a Dollar Dog fight. Great. Oh, man.
Hey, it got Texas a call on Saturday night.
How about, what did you think of that? I thought that was just bizarre.
Yeah, it was bizarre. Well, I guess pass interference is not reviewable. And then I read later that he told that the official that made the call said that he made the wrong call, that it should have been offensive pass interference, I think he said. But then they never really explained anything after they changed the call. They never really... I don't think either Texas nor Georgia was excited or felt good about the explanation they got from the league afterwards. It just seemed, it was just odd the whole way around.
It was bizarre. It made no sense. It made no sense.
They're probably lucky it didn't cost them anything. Like it didn't change the game or...
Right. Well, it definitely wasn't going to change that game.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to change that game. I can tell you that. Well, I mean, when you look at it, no way.
Did you watch Indiana at all?
A little bit. Like, I mean, not a lot, but a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I watched most of the first half.
And it just dominated.
Yeah.
Now, but here's the difference. It's going to be interesting to see, because Trace Jackson Davis's brother is going to have to take over as the quarterback, because Curtis Rourke, remember when he transferred to Indiana, I told you on the show, you know, they've got a quarterback, because I liked him at Ohio. He played against Penn State. I'm like, this kid's a good player. He watched the tapes. Like, he's good. Well, he's meant a lot to them. Well, he's out. He is not going to play. against
Hey, Steve, we have Dick from Milton.
Hey, Dick, how are you today? You doing well?
I'm fine, Steve. I wanted to bring up another subject I wanted to bring up last week, and I just didn't get the opportunity. And you might have an opinion on it. You might not think much about it because you're at State College. But these small schools, the Wolfsburgs, the Mifflinburgs, the Miltons, all these small schools, and they keep adding sports, but none of them add students. I guess my point is there, do you think there's a point when there's too many sports for some of these? The parent says we want a sport, and they decide to arbitrarily add these sports.
Well,
I understand State College, Waynesport, they're big school districts, but not everybody plays sports. Then you have bands, but then you have people in bands. But lately they've added volleyball or something. Some of these, they're adding lacrosse. They're adding, they've already got tennis and golf and basketball and all the major sports. It just seems to me that there's a lot more sports added when there's no more students added.
Yeah, there's a declining enrollment that's happening for the most part across school districts. And if you have declining enrollment, now you're starting to look. So let's take it from two points of view. Well, number one, the sports they're trying to add are fun. They're good. Okay? There's a lot of competition in them and so forth. But it's also diluting the talent of the sports that have been there for a long time. Football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, things like that. And you start diluting the talent on those teams, and now it's lessening the competition. So there's two schools of thought. I can understand the willingness to add, because those are great sports too, lacrosse, volleyball, things like that. But it's also diluting the talent we're seeing in certain sports, especially football, I think, on Friday nights.
Yeah, well, soccer did in a lot of respects earlier years ago. That took away a lot of it. And then you got cross-country kids, and swimming, there's just so many sports in some of these school districts, but no more students. It just surprises me, and it costs money to run them. You know, you got to hire coaches. You have to, there's a lot of finances involved in it. And there's, and a lot of scheduling. You got to find schools that are playing the same sport. In some cases, you have to travel a little bit. And the other thing that's happened, and I never thought about this today, but some of these kids specialize in one sport, and their parents haul them all over the state to play. They don't really compete at the level, high school level, a lot of times.
Well, and the other part, too, to me, is the distance where some people have to travel. So Seals Grove played at Hollidaysburg in football. Not a short trip. The Hollidaysburg schedule included a game against Fort Hill of Maryland. Right? Man, this is old school me coming up, but man, I'm for the days where in high school, like you played like teams in your area. I don't mind one adventurous game somewhere, but I'd like to see more teams play against it. Like the other night, Did Shikellamy play Danville? Who'd they play?
Oh, that's correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's at least close. That's in their backyard. You know, we get excited about Seelands Grove and Shikellamy. That's a great game. Mifflinburg, Lewisburg. But then when you start traveling out of the area, like Seelands Grove went to Hollidaysburg. Okay.
I think they also, Jersey Shore played a game down in somewhere around Philadelphia.
They did. And
yes, like, I'm not sure why? Who it was. It was down around the Delaware River somewhere.
Like, why?
It might have been a Philadelphia school. I think a lot of schools, you would know that you could find this out up there. There's a lot of schools up in that area who don't want to play Jersey Shore anymore because they were doing so well. And I'm not sure that Bellefonte and some of those schools want to even play them.
Maybe not. Now, State College is in a different boat. State College, which they would have no problem trying to play Jersey Shore.
But for some reason, I think Bellefonte and Lock Haven don't want to play them.
Right. Or Central Mountain, yeah.
Central Mountain. I don't think they're going to play them.
Right. But State College, their issue is trying to find schools in their category of Quad 6.
Yeah.
And so they're in a conference that has other schools comparable, but it also means a lot of travel for them. I mean, they're all over the state. Now, this week they've got a home game. They've got Bishop McDevitt at home. But they've been all over the place. and that's because of their classification. So some of this stuff is classification. But back to your original point, I just feel over time, some of the sports that we grew up accustomed to have been whittled down because now you're parsing out athletes all over the place that are playing. Because it turns out X is a good tennis player. Y, it happens to be a great cross-country runner. Z happens to be great at baseball, right? But doesn't want to play football, doesn't want to play basketball, doesn't want to wrestle. So, yeah, there's two parts to it. It's great that you have options. At the same time, you have to have enough people to fill the options, which is your point.
Well, two of the things I see happening, because I see they have trouble finding officials anymore. I think that's going to be an issue all along. And that'll continue, as far as I know.
That's going to continue.
This is just me. If you took the parents away from the game, maybe the officials would want to do it more readily.
I agree with you. Officials will tell you that is the biggest problem.
If you're at Beaver Stadium as an official, you might hear people, but at a high school basketball or wrestling match, the fans are right on top of you. And they hear, these officials have ears. They can hear what their people are saying about them.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I was talking with Andy O'Brien the other night. Andy's an excellent college basketball official. He's in the Big Ten. I was talking with Andy last week. He says, Steve, I'll make a call. Tom Izzo's mad at me. I'll make another call. Mike's mad at me. He says, I'll make another call. The fans are mad at me. He says, you just have to tune it all out. And see, Andy does. Not every official does, right? Because they're human. I mean, everybody has different temperaments. But when it comes to, you're right about, I would like to see more control by the parents. It's not universal. Like, there's a lot of great, great parents out there. But there are a few that. But there are a lot of great parents out there. But there are a few that have that once in a while cross the line. Just reel it in. Okay? The officials are like going, I don't need this anymore. What do I need this for? I don't blame them for thinking that. Who needs that?
I do believe that in the high school level and lower level, I think they're having trouble finding officials
in
a lot of sports. I think there are.
In every
people
state?
Get older and they're not doing it, but I watch some of these high school football games on the local cable company, and some of these officials have been doing this for 100 years, it seems.
Yeah. And
same people. And I don't see a lot of young blood out there.
Nope. Yeah. You don't see the 20-something-year-old out there trying to officiate. I don't want to get into that. I'd rather do something else. Yeah, I mean, Todd, you see it as much as we do.
I was just going to say, I was just talking to somebody at the Montorzo-Lewisburg game that he's my age, he's 49, and he was the youngest official at the officials meeting this Sunday before. That's probably not great.
We'll see what happens down the road if there's no officials for the games. You can't make somebody do it.
No, you
either
can't.
Want to do it or they don't want to do it. I mean, I know they get reimbursed fairly well today, compared to what they used to. I think they have to pay them pretty well if they pay them maybe mileage and in the game fees. I don't know how it works anymore. I just know that when I watch a game, I went down to a Bucknell volleyball game, and all the officials down there seemed like they were really old doing that game. At that NCAA level, I don't think they get to do it anywhere else.
Well, when the officials start getting older than me, we've got a big problem. All right. So.
Anyhow, good talking to you, Steve. I just wanted to change the subject and bring up. Parents are probably mad at me for telling them there are too many athletics, but that's
okay. Thanks, Nick.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in- in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Birdie Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, lots and lots of snacks. You'll need this weekend watching the games. Six great flavors of slushies. Peanuts roasted fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All the Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Interesting game on Friday night. I know USC plays Rutgers Friday night. That's at 11 o'clock at night. But there's also another game that is interesting, and that's going to be Boise State against UNLV. And a chance, if you have not seen him, and I really have not seen much of him personally, Ashton Jeanty, the running back. I am looking forward. They're just hanging back in the hotel room on Friday night to watch that. Now, I've already caught enough guff in a fun, kidding way from Mike Rhodes about not going to Lebanon Valley College on Friday night to see the scrimmage against Lafayette as Mike goes back to his home gym along with Pat Flannery, who will be with him. Okay. And he says, you could take a 6 a.m. He says, to get to Madison. And I said, now at this point when we were going back and forth on this, there wasn't a lot of back and forth, but we're going back and forth. And we didn't know the kickoff at that point. And I said, well, geez, Mike. I said, what if the game's at noon? He goes, that's true. So I will not be at Lebanon Valley.
When you have the chance to do Anvil and Madison in a weekend, I don't know how you can turn it down, Steve.
No, I'll get back to you on that. I've been to Anvil, by the way, so I have been there. But yeah, I great furniture store in Anvil. We've been able to get stuff from, but I was like, no. I can imagine the network. Imagine the network. Oh, no, I'm taking a 6 a.m. flight to Chicago, and then I'm driving up on Saturday. I don't think they want that. I think I would catch a lot of, what are you doing? We have a lot of nervous people if I did that.
The gap's right there. Maybe you can get some military help.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, but it's all in the hotel room on Friday night. I will watch Boise State UNLV. I'm just interested to see. I think it's going to be a good game, and it could determine the Group of Five winner. You mentioned Indiana earlier. Kurt Cignetti, who coached at IUP for how long, right? Before he took the James Madison job?
He was there at least a decade.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. They talked to him afterward. Because they ran out Nebraska, what, 56-7? Does that sound right? At least in that neighborhood?
Yeah, it was not pretty.
Cignetti said, quote, "With success comes belief, comes confidence. I think we saw that really kind of start against Western Illinois. It wasn't a great team, but we played well. And then we went to UCLA, and I think we have just seen it build every week." Now, his introductory news conference said it all. what can you do in Indiana? And he said, it's pretty simple. I win. Google me. Okay. Well, he brought 12 former James Madison players with him, including a whole bunch of all Sun Belt honorees. He got Miles Cross and Curtis Rourke to come over from Ohio University. Now, Rourke can't play this week, by the way. 75%, 1,941 yards, 15 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions. So, Taven Jackson, Trace Jackson, Davis's brother, is going to have to play in the game. He transferred from Tennessee. They intercepted Dylan Raiola 3 times. I mean, they're playing guys, like names of guys that were not there, and I did Indiana games every year. D'Angelo Pons? No. Okay. Jalen Walker? No. Now, Rourke, I did a Rourke game and a Miles Cross game, but they were at Ohio University. Okay. Okay. Sean Asbury? No. Like, they got a lot of transfers in there. And to his credit, he has been able to win every step of the way in his career. And they've been a fun team. I've watched them play the UCLA game, and I watched some of the Nebraska game. They are just a well-schooled, well-drilled team. They haven't lost. So, and Rourke has a thumb injury, by the way, on his throwing hand. And he's expected not to play against Washington this week. What happened was, I guess on a follow-through, his hand hit a helmet. So, and Jackson came in and did a good job. He threw for 2 touchdowns. Did all right.
Did you watch Michigan?
A little bit of it. I want to give Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson, and Jenny Dell a lot of credit, because the open, where they brought it back to 1924, was really cool. I thought the helmets and the uniforms they wore that were retro 1924 were really, really cool. But Michigan flat out can not throw the football.
I saw somebody say it was nice of Michigan to bring their 1924 era passing game with them as well.
Yeah, right. They did, but they just can't throw the ball. Maction this week, buddy. Ohio University going up to going over to Indiana to play Ball State. Maction Tuesday night. ESPN2, Schumann Stadium, Muncie, Maction, tomorrow night.
I was going to say the Indiana for the locals here, not Muncie, PA.
Yeah, right, Muncie, Indiana.
CIE, not NCY.
Yeah. I guess we're up to Maction season. We're up to, like, games every night, right?
Yeah, it's usually coincides with the start of district soccer and field hockey playoffs, and they kick off tonight too. So,
I guess, that's back. This is let's give Indiana credit. I mean, they are playing with some swagger. I mean, you watch them play. They play with swagger.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no getting around it. They do.
You listen to 10 minutes of Kurt Cignetti, you can't help to have a little bit of swagger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when they're 7-0 now.
I mean, Andy Ludwig stepped down as the offensive coordinator at Utah. How about that one?
I watched a little bit of that when I got home Saturday at night, and very little of that. Mm.
Seth Luttrell, offensive coordinator at Oklahoma, fired. Okay. Will Hall, head coach, Southern Mississippi, fired. We're at that time of the year, man.
I was going to say Mike Houston at East Carolina as well.
Yep, ECU fired Mike Houston. Yep, he's out. Right? It's not like they hit 161 in the playoffs. Oh, wait. He didn't get fired. Even Mike Hall won. I mean, even Hall even won a game this year. All right, so, no. But it's that time where now we're getting to the point where coaches' jobs are going to be on the line. It's, you know, and Andy Ludwig has always been a quality. I mean, look, it's one thing about getting ready for a bowl game. You really delve into a program when you're getting ready for a bowl game. You have more time to do it. And they're 4-3. They lost to TCU 13-7, so obviously you saw some of that. They've been averaging 13.75 points per game in the Big 12 this year. See, I thought they would dominate the Big 12 with their running game and win it. I mean, I thought that was one of the easier picks for Utah to win the Big 12. Nope. And, I mean, you're talking about with him as the OC, they finished in the top 15 in the nation in total offense when they had the back-to-back Pac-12 champions when they lost to Ohio State and Penn State in the respective Rose Bowls. And Notre Dame actually was trying to get him to be their offensive coordinator. The buyout for Ludwig, you want to know what Ludwig's buyout is? $1.8
million. I mean, I get trying to be a stand-up guy, but I think I might have let them fire me to get my money.
True.
Baby's got to eat.
Well, the Cam Rising thing's been a big problem.
I think they were. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that they were more well prepared for him not to miss last season than they are for him to miss this season.
Yeah, see, when I watch Utah play, was it Arizona? Or is, I think it was Arizona State. You know, I talk about Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers plays, quote, like a 40-year-old coming off an Achilles injury. Right? That's not a knock on him. I'm just saying that's, right?
Yeah.
That's the reality of his life. He's 40 years old. He's coming off an Achilles. So there's a couple, like, little things that separated him from people before that he can't quite do now. I'm watching Cam Rising in the Arizona State game, and there's a couple things that made Cam Rising Cam Rising. The guts, take off and make a run when, like, okay, I need to get one. Wouldn't do it. And he wouldn't do it because I don't think he can. And that changed their offense a lot.
You know, there's always that one, you know, modern medicine, you always think somebody's going to come back from an ACL, and just sometimes, you know, the damage is so much that I don't think you can, and I right. think we're seeing, you know, I think as soon as you saw him have to miss last year, I think it's pretty telling how damaging that knee injury was in the bowl game.
Yeah, no question. It's just like the couple things, like those couple added items that make you that suddenly you can't quite do, and it changes almost the entire offense because it was one of the important elements that made, quote, your offense run. Kenny Dillingham, by the way, of Arizona State, has apologized for calling his kicking game atrocious.
Well, he told everybody to come to practice today because he was holding open tryouts, too.
I would like to apologize in my post-game press conference. I talked about our kicking game like I do offense, defense. However, the kicking game is always directed at one player. I should not have done that. I apologize. The team's losses will always be 100% on me. Dillingham said Monday at Arizona State he received a bunch of emails following his announcement, and the staff was vetting them. He says he has confidence in his kickers. Grad student Parker Lewis, redshirt freshman Karsten Kiefer. At the end of the day, we have guys who are collegiate kickers that are really good, and they are. We got to do a better job with them to get them a lot more confident.
That sounds like somebody spoke to his AD or his president.
It sounds like somebody that the AD or the president spoke to him.
Yes.
Dillingham said he realized shortly after the post-game news conference his comments affected Ian Hershey, the kicker, who had missed two fourth-quarter field goals and a 24-14 loss. He said, I've never in my career done anything that's had a negative effect on a kid, and I've had some really bad seasons and some really bad pay. Absolutely failed him. Missed from 48-41. He's 7-12 overall, but from 30 yards and beyond, he's 3-8. After the Cincinnati loss, Dillingham called Arizona State's kicking game atrocious. He invited interested Arizona State students to email him and said the program would have a tryout on Monday. I'm dead serious, Dillingham told reporters. We got to find somebody who can make a field goal.
Okay.
So you happen to be in the Tempe area. Why?
Get your emails in fast.
We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
October is Truck Month at Sunbury Motors with over 100 new trucks to choose from.
Sun, ride with the sun, Sunbury.
SMC has 12 of the hard-to-find Ford Maverick trucks priced as low as $27,890, and they get up to 42 miles per gallon. Pick from over 40 of the number one selling truck in the world, the Ford F-150, and Sunbury Motors has them slashed up to $12,416, and 4x4 Super Cruise are priced from just $46,874. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century. Hurry, sale ends Halloween Eve, October 31st.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.